Welcome to the Metaphysical Martini Show, where wit and wisdom come together to bridge the gap between the spirit realm and the physical world.
With Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ani Avedisian. Welcome to Metaphysical Martini. Three parts spirit, one part rational mind. Add two drops of optimism, give it all a good hard shake and pour. Dress it with the olives of grace and empathy. Sit back, sip slowly, and contemplate the wonder of cosmic co-creation. And a hearty hello to everyone out there. Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for joining this crazy old lady for yet another round of cocktails on this week's Metaphysical Martini, the show that tries to sort out what's true, what's woo, and what gets flushed down the loo in a world so crooked, so corrupt, the divine might have to step in and interrupt. A world in which misinformation is rife. People don't know who is the husband, who is the wife. A world in which cowards posture outside the arena, but don't have the guts to challenge the goddess Vaccina. A world so utterly devoid of common sense, to purify it would require a mountain of frankincense. But the question that makes us shiver our timbers, will all be revealed and out by this Christmas? Welcome back, martini heads. I raise my glass to you. And you know what's in that glass today? Today's cocktail, it's going to be a doozy, but more about that toward the end of the show, because, you know, that's when the cocktails have taken effect and I begin to sound just a little bit too happy. Because that's what happens when an old lady sips booze throughout her show. The warmth of the bourbon brings out her soft and soothing glow. If you haven't already turned off and you are joining us for the first time, a very warm welcome to you. Be advised, this show is politically incorrect so as not to erode the intellect. We are not woke, we will not wear a face cloak, and we know the agenda behind the death poke. In short, and I am only 5'1", we know who runs the world, how and why, and yes, people, that is exactly how savvy we are. We also believe America has a sacred purpose to unite the world in a form of sovereign, secular spirituality and to lead the world into a new golden age of peace and prosperity. We will see an end to perpetual warfare, which, by the way, is the main reason bankers are as wealthy and as influential as they are today. Funding warfare has always been popular. An end to government administration stealing our money and then giving away half as bribes and pocketing the remainder. Ultimately, I think we're talking about the end of the reign of terror. I can't speak for you lot, but as far as I'm concerned, looking around me today, I will not share this planet with drug and human traffickers. I will not share this planet with people who believe their religion gives them the right to sexually penetrate 9-year-old girls and boys. I will not share this planet with people in positions of responsibility who turn a blind eye to these atrocities in return for money and for status. So saturated are they with the stench of whatever you choose to call demons. There is no redemption for them in this life. I want them all rounded up, arrested, tried, and disposed of appropriately. The divine can take care of the details post-incarnation. My job is to help get them off the planet, and once their souls are floating about in the darker recesses of the great ether, may the odds ever be in their higher self's favor. On a lighter note, Metaphysical Martini is where the Holy Spirit meets top quality distilled spirits, and what a glorious combination that is. Let's take a sip of today's drinky poo and see if it's a winner or a sinner. Hold on, my darlings, don't go away. I'll be right back. Sipping is happening. That is so refreshing, absolutely perfect for a warm summer's day. It is unfortunate that today is not a warm summer's day in Oregon, but that is quite delightful. More about that later. Okay, Ani, where are you? Let's get on with the show. Let's get on with the show. What do we have for you on today's show? Well, we will start, as we always do, with quack. Questions, answers, and comments. And today's questions are all focused on ET encounters and encounters with strange and weird shapes and odd things like that that may or may not be 80s. After that, we will have a tiny pat of poetry. And that's the portion where I terrorize the audience with my latest street poetry extraordinaire. After that, we may have a short segment titled Literary Picks Plucked from Obscurity, but I can't find my notes on that. So unless I find them in the next hour, we won't be doing that. And then we'll move right on to discuss the cocktail of the day. And we will close with a message that might be inspirational or it might be irrational. I don't know. The day is young. We'll see how it goes. So let's get on with it. Folks, if you would like to share the contents of your mega marvelous minds with martini heads across the universes known and unknown, send your emails to me because no one else will read them. Arnie@arnieavedisian.com. If you prefer snail mail, and some do, send them to Cosmic Arnie, P.O. Box 714, Wilsonville, Oregon, 97070, USA. And don't forget to let me know if and how you wish to be identified, or I will be forced to refer to you as omit personal details. All righty then, let's shake up the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity and see what pops out. I'm a shaking it, shaky, shaky, shake it, shake it, shake it. Give it a little zap, give it a little zap. Woo! All right, let's pick this one. Why not? Our first missive is from someone who calls herself J-No. J-Lo, J-No. Okay, very nice. And J-No writes, this has happened 5 times on 5 consecutive nights. I see a vision of a very tall, lean cowboy dressed in workwear and chaps. He hovers over my bed and draws strange symbols with his fingers. I think he is an alien trying to make contact, but I don't understand the symbols he makes. What is your opinion, Arnie? How do I respond? How do I reach him? Wow, Jano, darling, this is not an alien encounter. This is a sexual fantasy. Tall, lean cowboy in chaps, hovering over your bed, making strange shapes with his strong, powerful hands, his chaps worn carefully over his jeans, drawing attention to his family jewels in a neat and hopefully not so small perfect package. Darling, let's be sensible. Why would an ET present himself as a cowboy? Jano, you haven't shared your location with me, so I have no idea where you live, but I have a suggestion. I suggest going to Texas or Montana or Wyoming or one of the states where they still have cowboys and finding yourself a chapped boyfriend. Really, that is my advice. And may I say, I applaud your choice of vision because I think cowboys make excellent boyfriends. Cowboys do make excellent boyfriends. Because, you know, if you have cows, they know how to rustle them. That could always be useful. But beyond rustling cows, they have practical skills and they know how to ride, if you know what I mean. Jano, darling, this is not an ET encounter. So go to Texas, find yourself a nice man, and I wish you eternal orgasms as you ride into the sunset with your new beau. Okay, right, moving on. What else is in the fishbowl today? This one is from Omit Personal Details, who says, Arnie, I don't know if these are dreams or real events. It doesn't happen often, but it does happen regularly. I fall asleep, but just before I do, I have a vision of a swirling sigil wrapped up in a vortex or some sort of portal, and it tries to draw me in. At first I resisted, but once I plucked up the courage, I relaxed into it and allowed myself to enter the portal. I have no recollection of what happens in the portal, or on the other side of it. I presume it takes me somewhere. I presume I do something or something is done to me. But on the return trip, I have a momentary vision of a face that looks a lot like a little grey. He looks, or she, we don't know, looks concerned and seems to count backwards from 10 to 1. And I don't know how I know this, I just know I do. When the grey finishes the countdown, it blinks and I wake up. WTF is that all about? What am I doing running around with little greys? I am a Presbyterian. Can these experiences damage me? I suffer no physical effects from these visions. Are they dreams or are they real? And if they are real, what is the purpose? Oh, my dear Omit, shall we have a long discussion about the nature of reality? I'm not sure we have that much time today. If it's real to you, and you are in good mental health, then it is real. So let's break this down. You are sort of relaxing in that beautiful little state that we have before we fall asleep, my little twilight zone, I call it. And these little portals, or a portal opens up and starts to swirl, and yours has a specific sigil in it, which you didn't say if you recognized or not. And you eventually said, you know, what the hell, I'll just go through this. And so you've been going through it and coming back, but you don't remember anything in the middle. But when you come back, you see the face of what you think is a little grey, counting backwards, blinking, and then you wake up. No one can actually tell you, Omit, what is going on in your head. That's between you and, you know, your God. But what it sounds like, very much, is that you do have some sort of soul contract to go astrally and travel with the little greys. And they are obviously on your side because they're bringing you back and making sure that you are completely back in your body. And when they blink, then everything that just happened goes out of any conscious or subconscious memory and straight into the supraconscious. Of course, yes, don't send me emails correcting me. It's always in the subconscious. I know. But they shoot it out into the supraconscious because for whatever reason, you're not supposed to know what happened during that time. Not yet, anyway. You know, I'm not really worried about this. This sort of thing happens quite a bit. People have soul agreements with ET races or other beings. Who knows what you're doing? Now, here's the thing. If you really want to know, a really good hypnotist will be able to release that memory for you. But you don't mention having any damage to your body. You don't mention that you're having any mental health issues. You don't mention that there's something wrong with your memory. It's just they come. Oh, you fall asleep, you go through the portal, you don't know what happens, and the only time you see the greys is when you're back. There's only two things that can be happening. You get lost in the portal and the greys are rescuing you, or it's a grey portal and they're bringing you back. Don't worry about it. But call me and book a session because it's interesting. And if you have any concerns, we can address them. But don't worry, it sounds very chill to me. All right. Here's another one, an interesting one. Well, I only pick the interesting ones because, darlings, I don't want to bore you all you martini heads out there. This one is from Jules, who just finished a pilgrimage to Lourdes. Not because I am religious, but to support my friend who has been very sick. And Jules writes a lot, so I'm going to sort of cherry pick. During this trip, I had much time for contemplation and reflection. I started thinking about eternal life, reincarnation, how many croissants I could eat. Lourdes is in France, obviously. The meaning of life. And somehow I found myself obsessed with life forms on other planets. How did we get from croissants to life forms on other planets? Like you, Arnie, says Jules, I am a book hound, a book dragon. I read 40 to 50 books a year minimum on various subjects. Last year, I became enamored with fairy tales, and one theme in particular held my attention, the changeling children. Could it be the changelings are not fae folk, but actually ETs from another realm? And Jules, I want you to know I read your entire letter 5 or 6 times. I think we think along the same lines. You know, I grew up in the UK where we all believe in fairies and all of that, probably because they're real. It never made sense to me that fae folk would want human DNA. You know, our dimensional frequencies don't match up, and I don't think it's possible for the physical mating thing to happen. And if it were possible, I doubt it would go well for either party. For those who are unfamiliar with changeling, it's a European folklore term. It usually is a deformed or imbecilic offspring of fairies or elves, substituted by them surreptitiously for a human infant. In other words, the fairies, they didn't do this. This is all lies and propaganda. It wasn't the fairies. But according to legend, they take their sickest children, the fairies, and replace it with a healthy human child. So when the human parents are, you know, awake, they have this sick little deformed child that is not human. And then all of the folklore in the medieval period would say that when the elves and the fairies abducted the child, it was not because they wanted to purify their race or to put different DNA into their race. It was so that it could be sacrificed to the devil. And then Christianity got involved and the whole thing, you know, it just went terrible. It was just ridiculous. I think what you're getting at, Jules, is what I'm getting at. I've thought for quite a long time it could be references to the little greys, properly called the Zeta Reticulans, because it's long been known they had trouble reproducing naturally. So they had to clone themselves and transfer their consciousness into the clone. And over time, I mean, I admire them for their diligence in doing this and wanting to keep their race alive. But over time, this resulted in a lack of empathy, which, as we all know, is a necessary component of cosmic connection. So they searched the universe for a species with compatible DNA. And when they found planet Earth, it was bingo, ding, ding, ding. So stealing a healthy human child, I guess, seems as good a method as any to start the process of natural reproductive function. I mean, if we look at how many thousands of years it took for the Palladians and a few of the other races to introduce superior DNA into what we commonly call cavemen, you know, I'm told it was about a 30,000 year process. That's a long time. Well, then it makes sense that the Grey started the process, which continues to this day a long time ago, in the era of fairies and giants and strange things that went bump in the night. So the younglings would be taken as infants while they were still small and wrinkly and ugly to minimize immediate detection. But as the thing grew, I suspect the parents were horrified to have given birth to a demon child, as they would have called it, and probably took it to the local pond and drowned it. And if it was allowed to grow to maturity, it would not fit into human society and would probably be labeled a halfwit or an oaf or, you know, mentally deficient. And quite possible, it's quite possible that many of these changelings, assuming the parents truly believed they had birthed them, it's quite possible they live their days in a cage in an attic somewhere and given just enough care to keep them alive, in which case death would have been preferable and more merciful. But people do weird things when confronted with material outside the box. At a certain point in history, these myths stopped. I promise you people, I'm not drunk. I just have a tooth problem. At a certain point in history, once the Greys could no longer produce even the feeble and imbecilic children, they just couldn't, I mean, they bonked and nothing happened. Then this practice went from a straight swap to an outright steal. So I could talk a long time on this, but your question is about changelings. So we will stick with that. So to summarize, because I always go off track because I get excited, you see people. To summarize, yeah, I don't think the fairies are not guilty. The fairies and the elves are not guilty. It is an alien race, and it is probably the Zeta Reticulans, because they look a lot like the descriptions that we find in ancient folklore. Cool question, Jules. Thanks for asking it. And I will say to everyone, fairy tales are clues to the past. Sometimes we forget that mythology was once actually current events. I mean, there's a point to ponder. All righty. What else came in today in the ET folder of Quack? Well, let's take this one. This is an email from Orlando in Baden-Baden, which is a lovely place. I had friends back in the day who took the waters in Baden-Baden every year. For those who don't know where Baden-Baden is, it's in Baden-Württemberg, so southwestern Germany, and it's not too far from the Rhine, and it's not too far from the border with France. And it's charming. The town itself is sort of, I think it's a sort of 18th century, lovely architecture and all that. Lovely place for a vacation. Anyway, forgetting all of that, what does Orlando want with me? Dear Arnie, how can we tell the difference between demons and extraterrestrials? Not as simple a question as you might think, because it very much depends on your knowledge and awareness on those subjects. In short, and in general, demons and their nature has been misrepresented over time. But in general, while not necessarily physical, they can take physical form. And they can interact with the physical world, whereas ETs are physical beings, right up to upper fifth frequency. They remain exclusively in physical form. That said, some of the higher up ETs, Arcturians spring to mind, they have the ability to transfer their consciousness out of their birthed bodies and for a certain amount of time adopt another body form. And it doesn't have to be a humanoid body form, it could be any type of body form. I recount with amusement these days. Initially, it was with horror, how I was, at the home of a friend who regularly channels extraterrestrials, and I was doing the washing up after dinner, and this rather large spider kept crawling out of the drain, and I was like, "Oh my God, rather large spider!" and like pushing it back down the drain. Don't judge me, people. Okay, don't judge me until you've seen giant spiders. And it kept crawling up. And apparently his name was Arnold and didn't really mean to kill him or try to kill him. But he said not to worry because he could have adopted another body immediately. I would only have killed his spider body. I kid you not, my darlings. If I could make this shit up, I'd be writing for television. Anyway, so even those beings can't transfer into another body form for a long period of time. Now, as we read the lore, the folklore of antiquity over the years, we begin to realize that ETs with less than benevolent ideals were often mistaken for demons due to their bad behavior. So the etymology of the Hebrew and Greek words used to denote demons indicate that demons in general are powerful entities that transcend ordinary experience, transcend space-time, physical nature of humanity, blah, 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 and all of that, that they are incorporeal beings capable of taking on form should they desire. So at least the classicists agree with me. Depending on whose scripture you read, they can be just about anything from fallen angels who followed Lucifer when he turned his back on Creator and became a mad scientist to any type of unclean spirit and or tormentor of sanity. I can't cover all the aspects on this show. Perhaps we should devote an entire show to some light-hearted demonology. I'll chat with my producer about that and see if she thinks it's a good idea. For now, let's leave with this. Never mind if it's a demon or an ET. If it feels uncomfortable, bordering on scary, walk away into the divine light and don't look back. I've had many encounters with the beings we commonly call demons, and some of them are from other universes and therefore can correctly be classified as ET demons. You see, we've just invented a whole other race. These beings have been around for eons. They have watched multiple races birth, evolve, devolve, revolve, and ultimately dissolve back into source. They have accumulated vast banks of knowledge, and the non-hive mind ones can read minds, and that's where we get the stories of tricksters messing up the minds of curious but clueless little humans. In my experience, the majority of hive mind demons are creations of our unprocessed thought forms. Think about the deadly sins. What type of energy is created when we engage in unbridled hate, unhealthy levels of lust, gluttony? Gluttony, especially a demon that plagues America and is a contributing factor to the obesity epidemic or epidemon, perhaps. Oh my God, Arnie, we're inventing new words and phrases today. How clever are we? Good question. You know, but then you have to really think about what is the classical definition of demon and what is a demon, you know, in a shaman's dictionary. Shall we take one more question on our ET theme? Let's do it. Let's do it. Okay. This is from a chap called Vartan in California, who I think has written to us before. Vartan is an ancient Armenian name, named after Kachvartan, a mighty and fearless king. And I'm sure he was, and all with no hint of ancient propaganda. Vartan says, Anijan, and Jan, by the way, means my dear in Armenian, for those not familiar with the most obscure branch of the Indo-European language tree. So he says, dear Ani, Ani, my dear, I believe that God is real, and I believe in angels, and I believe Jesus lived. But I do not believe that men in dresses and pretty robes are the authority on such things. The Vatican has a telescope they named Lucifer. A telescope is designed to look beyond our planet and explore other planets. Was Lucifer an ET? And is the Vatican planning an alien invasion of our planet by dark beings who wish to take over and make us their slaves? Vartanjan. The short answer is, for the most part, actually, yes. I'm not going to call Lucifer an ET because he was just playing with genetic material when we first got genetic material in the first universe. So he's not actually an extraterrestrial. He's from the archangel realm. Lucifer, bringer of light, even in the Armenian language, Lusaber, bringer of light. So Lucifer, as the dark lord who created life through genetic experiments and fed his projects from the fear he created in those beings, is enthroned under the Vatican. You are correct. This is not a conspiracy theory, just like all the other 10,000 conspiracy theories that we were ridiculed for in 2019, which have all turned out to be true. Dark forces, dark rituals, they all take place under the Vatican. Lucifer is enthroned under the Vatican. And these dark rituals that they do down there are mimicked at mass. Catholic mass, training humans, slowly indoctrinating them into the ways of evil. It's all real. I have to say, I believe what you want, people. Don't be personally offended. I'm a woman with a specific background. I have my experiences. I have my understanding. I have my reality. Don't be upset because somebody has a different reality to yours. And I say this now because I'm about to piss off 1 billion Catholics. I am glad I do not subscribe to any religion, you know, especially Catholicism, because at some point in the not too distant future, everything that I've talked about and others have talked about will be made public. And 1 million billion people or whatever who swore loyalty to Papa and the Virgin and a host of saints, having ingested thousands of wafers, which are transubstantiated into flesh, and multiple sips of sweet wine magically turned into wine, blood, wine into blood. I imagine I would find it challenging, to say the least, if I believed that as a force for good, and then I was forced to reconcile my past with the current reality. I don't envy anyone that process. But here's the upside. After such a, you know, after such an awakening, after that level of seeing that illusion shatter, well, you will never, ever again fall asleep. Yeah. Vartan also asked about the black stone of Islam, which is called the Kaaba. I'll leave that for another time. Let me not piss off now 1 billion Muslims as well. I will end by saying that after we finish the current round of Christians versus Moors, all major religions will fall because they are built on darkness. God is great. For the rest, all we need is common sense and compassion. Okay. Thanks to all of the people who wrote in. Keep them coming, because that's why we started this show, to gather the thoughts of the great unwashed and the great disenfranchised, to make this a cozy little home, this, you know, for cosmic space adventurers and their cocktails. Speaking of cocktails, let me have a little sip of this one. I say, chaps, I sound like one of my old boarding school teachers there. I say, chaps, that was rather nice. I'm licking my lips. Okay. What should we do next? I think we should go to a tiny pat of poetry. Yes, folks, after a hard day's shamaning, I like nothing better than coming home, putting my feet up, having a cup of tea or a small drinky poo, and writing really bad but occasionally brilliant non-peer-reviewed poetry, because I think we'll all agree, anyone who's read my Substack, my poetry is without peer on so many levels and for so many reasons. And in keeping with our extraterrestrial theme today, here's a poem I wrote about an ET knocking on a human's door late at night and asking for a light for his blunt. It's called, "I was just cruising the astral highway when I saw your porch light was on." So you've got to imagine yourself, you're all half asleep, and you get this knock on your door. "It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Good people should all be asleep. Your dreams are a tad concerning when your doorbell goes beep, beep. You hobble down the stairway and peek through the aperture tiny. At once you detect foul play. It's a grey with a blunt. Oh, blimey." He says, "Hey man, I'm so sorry to bother you this late at night, but it seems I've lost sight of my quarry and I really could use a light." Not wishing to upset the alien, you are British and that means well-mannered, your mind becomes sharp and Aurelian, even though early on you are hammered. You smile and you nod and say, "My name is Todd. It's a pleasure to make your acquaintance. I'll give you my lighter. This whole scene is so odd. Are the Greys having a hippie renaissance?" I thought that was quite good. I might rework the last two lines. They don't quite punch out the way that I would want them punched out. But I want to thank everybody who subscribes to my Substack. It's completely free. For those of you who do throw some money my way and do the annual $80 or whatever it is, or the odd dollar tip jar, I don't take those for granted. I really do appreciate it, but you don't have to pay for it. It is free. And thank you for being there and supporting me while I experiment upon you all. Before I put together my book of really bad but occasionally brilliant poetry, which I will start after the retreat I'm doing with Petra Nicole, September this year. There's a lot going on, my darlings. There's a lot going on. Now, my sweethearts, I know that this show is just a little bit shorter than usual, and some of you will be going, "Oh my God, thank God," and some of you will be crying, but, you know, I think that's almost it for today. I have finished my drinky poo, and that always means the end of the show. So I do hope you enjoyed listening in as much as I enjoyed recording it, because I always have a blast. Hanging out with my martini heads every other week is the highlight of my life. It really is. I just want to say one thing before I get onto the cocktail, because I know you're all waiting for the cocktail. As Mother Earth purges, as the monastic light comes in, and as we hurtle spurtle towards the fourth dimension, all the little beings and the weird shit that's been hanging out in various little realms underground on Earth, all of that will percolate up to the top. So if you do start seeing little greys in your greenhouse or cowboys in your bedroom or, pink unicorns in your bathroom, just breathe, leave that room, have a glass of water, come back in. If it's still there, call me. But, you know, usually what you're seeing is just stuff passing through. It's a very busy time psychically right now. So try to stay sane. And today's real life cocktail was, wait for it, a peach botanical spritz. And here's how you make it. You take 1.5 ounces of Kettle One vodka, but you get the one that says botanical peach and orange blossom. 1/2 ounce of orange juice, fresh. 1/3 ounce of peach liqueur. 1/3 ounce of lemon juice, fresh. And then you can top it up with approximately 3 ounces of soda water or sparkling wine. I prefer the soda water option. If you are from the southern states and you like everything sickly sweet, I think you're going to go with the sparkling wine. So you don't use a shaker for this one. Just get a nice big white wine glass and put good quality ice cubes into it. Add all the ingredients, stir gently, garnish with some fruit, you know, a peach, an orange slice, something like that. A perfect drink for a warm summer day, which we are not having today. Now remember, folks, cocktails are great if they are an occasional treat. If you use top-notch ingredients and take the art of mixology seriously, one drink, uno, no mas, is all you need. I'm Arnie, mad as the day is long, Avedisian. This was Metaphysical Martini, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio, to whom we are most grateful. Thank you to mysticalwares.com for graciously funding the intergalactic distribution of this show. Mysticalwares.com is your one-stop shop for all things metaphysical. Whether you visit them online or on location, you'll be sure to give them a standing ovation. Huzzah for Mystical Wares. Huzzah! Until we meet again, please remember that right now the world is a crazy clown circus. So maintain your sanity and remember your purpose. And this can only be done, my darlings, by allowing the spirit to inhabit the human.
You have been listening to The Metaphysical Martini with Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.